At the core of Christian living, you eventually have to address this question. Who are you trying to impress? Whose praise is it that matters to you? That is what Jesus is laying out.
Everywhere you turn, it's evident. We live in an age of self-promotion and narcissism. Advertising, books and music, seminars and podcasts. Make yourself look good or important, and then you can get ahead, we're told. Hello, I'm Bill Wright. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green begins a new teaching series titled The Sin of Spiritual Hypocrisy. Well, Don, society constantly pushes the message that we should be in love with ourselves, but that's wrong.
Well, Bill, I guess one of the things that is remarkable about the words of Jesus is that he shows that this love for self spills into people who think they are part of his kingdom, people who think they are true Christians. And so he gives us a warning in Matthew chapter 6 against spiritual hypocrisy, about doing spiritual deeds in order to call attention to ourselves. And this is a very common problem at all levels of Christianity. And so, my friend, we're going to have the opportunity today to see what Jesus says about spiritual hypocrisy, how to recognize it, and how to avoid it. And I'm glad you're with us today as we study God's Word on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. I'm sure there's still much for us to learn about our Lord's warning about spiritual hypocrisy. So, friend, let's join our teacher now on the Truth Pulpit.
One of the aspects of being a Christian, one of the calls of repentance, one of the calls out of sin, is to turn away from that self-promoting, self-fascinating spirit in order to devote yourself exclusively to the glory of God. That is to be at the very heart of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And if you look at Matthew chapter 6, this is where we're going to go. That contrast between the spirit of self-promotion and the self-denial of a true disciple is central to understanding our passage today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I want to emphasize to you that what we are about to see here in this passage is a foundational determination of what your life is going to look like. This goes to the very core of what animates your life on earth. And that's what we see here. This is no superficial teaching that Jesus gives. It goes to the very heart of why we exist. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read the two passages out of this. I'm going to read the first six verses to start, and then we'll jump over to verse 16. But Matthew chapter 6, listen to what Jesus said, and we'll set the context in a moment. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, jump over to verse 16 with me, because it's a continuation of the same theme. Jesus said, verse 16, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus, here in the middle of Matthew 6, is in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And we studied it at length several years ago. And I go back to it repeatedly because it's of such foundational significance to understanding all of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And also, it's this passage has just been so very foundational in my own life. It's been utterly determinative having gone through and preaching through it verse by verse. Now, the key to understanding what the Sermon on the Mount means is to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Go back there with me for just a moment. We've made this point multiple times. Jesus had just been baptized by John in John chapter 3. He had endured the temptation of the devil, and now he is about to embark on his public ministry. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew records a summary statement about what the message of Christ was as he went about teaching. This is an overview statement by which his teaching is to be understood. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The theme of Jesus' teaching was repentance. Now, as you go to the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew, what you are seeing in those three chapters is Jesus' exposition of what repentance means. That is so very important for you to understand. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see the link there. The poor in spirit have the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those verses link together the key to understanding what the big theme is that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. To be poor in spirit is to recognize that you are spiritually bankrupt before God. That you have no merit of your own that would commend you to His favor. That you have no merit of your own before His holy and majestic law. You and I have broken God's law. We have broken it irretrievably. We have broken it multiple times. And we are crushed underneath the judgment of the law of God. And no one comes to Christ, truly, no one becomes a Christian without making that fundamental self-assessment and that fundamental confession that I have no righteousness of my own. If I am to be saved, I must receive a righteousness from outside of myself, or I cannot be saved. There must be repentance because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There must be a self-renunciation. There must be a turning from sin. And there must be a fundamental submission to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if anyone is to be saved. No one is saved in any other manner. It is a total fallacy to think that we contribute anything of our own righteousness to earn merit before God. You have no merit before God. And fundamental, at the core of a true saving response to the work of Christ on the cross is to recognize that you needed forgiveness, you needed someone else to pay the penalty, you need a righteousness outside of your own if you are to stand before God with a right relationship to His law. And that is what Jesus is expounding on. At the core of a faith response to Christ is a repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the question is what does that repentance look like? What is at the core of that kind of repentance? Well, as we move into chapter 6, all of this Sermon on the Mount is an exposition of that theme. But as we move into chapter 6, what Jesus is teaching us in these passages that I just read is that true repentance fundamentally changes the motives that animate your life. True repentance fundamentally changes the motives that animate your life. And understand, as we were talking earlier about the spirit of our age and the self-promoting spirit of our age, there is absolutely no denying that at all. But understand that though the manifestation was different 2,000 years earlier, that same love of pride, that same love of the praise of men was animating spiritual life in first century Israel as well. And so, this is a fundamental problem that transcends time and culture. Men love themselves and they love to receive praise from other men. And if anyone is going to partake of the kingdom of God, if anyone is going to come to saving faith in Christ, they have to make a conscious self-determination that they are going to reject all of that, that they are going to come out of all of that to despise the praise of men for the sake of seeking the favor and the reward of God. That's what Jesus is saying here. There is a fundamental turning away from what motivates you, from the praise of men to the reward of God. And that's what Jesus says here in chapter 6, verse 1. Look at it with me again. Notice that he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." There's the motive, to be noticed by them. "Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Now, in the King James and in the New King James, the text reads almsgiving based on certain Greek manuscripts here. And so it says, "Beware of practicing your almsgiving before men to be noticed by them." But the older and the better manuscripts here read righteousness. And that's why the NASB has it here, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." And that little difference is very, very important. Because Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, is making another summary statement about the fundamental motive of spiritual life is to consciously not pursue being noticed by men in order to seek the reward of your Father who is in heaven. And then, with what I read in those subsequent passages, what he says about giving in verses 2 through 4, what he says about praying in verses 5 and 6, what he says about fasting in verses 16 through 18, all those three things are all are illustrations of the more fundamental point about what is the core motivation of your heart. He's illustrating with giving, prayer, and fasting. He's illustrating this overarching principle that you cannot practice righteousness for the sake of being noticed by men. Now, there are so many fundamental, profound things wrapped up into this that I almost despair of trying to expound on them. Understand here that in this passage, what we're going to see is that Jesus Christ is examining your motives. He is examining the reasons for which you do things. And that immediately tells us that the nature of true repentance goes beyond external conduct. It is about exchanging an old heart for a new heart. It is about rejecting an entire worldview. It is about rejecting the entire motivations that have driven your life up to the point that you come to saving faith in Christ. This love of self, this love of the praise of men must be consciously, totally, drastically rejected, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven at all. And so this goes to the very core of what motivates us, and it teaches us that why we do something is important to God. God scrutinizes that, and it tells us that on the positive side, that the true Christian fulfills spiritual duty to please God, not men. And as basic as that may sound, there is no question but which we spend a lifetime trying to flesh this out and to actually honor this principle in our lives. True repentance abandons sin and self in order to orient life in submission to the God of your salvation. Now, here's what that means for you and for me. To state it a little too colloquially, at the core of Christian living, you eventually have to address this question. Who are you trying to impress? Whose praise is it that you are trying to curry? Who is it that you are trying to get reward from? Whose praise is it that matters to you? That is what Jesus is laying out. And when he says beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. He uses a grammatical construction that says, this is something, this beware, this caution, is something that is to be an ongoing pattern of your life. If this is to be your characteristic approach to the way that you live, that you are on guard against this ever-present threat to love the praise of men, in order to do your spiritual duty so that men see it and praise you for it. This is to be an ongoing characteristic of how you guard your spiritual life. And because it is the spirit of our age, because this is a problem that transcends time and culture, you can understand why this would require our ongoing diligence in order to avoid that trap. The Old Testament repeatedly speaks about warning people against fearing man rather than fearing God. In fact, the Old Testament goes so far as to say that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. This is at the very core. This is at the very foundation of what it means to be a Christian. And so Jesus' main point in the passage that we're looking at is that you must not live your life to seek the praise of men. And his instruction exposes what seeking the praise of men looks like, and it shows us how to mortify it in our lives. I'm going to structure this message around two main principles here today. And the first one is this, as studying what Jesus says here, As we try to respond and to live out true repentance in our lives, the first point is this, is that you have to check your motives. You have to check your motives. Check your motives. Now, I understand that some people are more introspective than others. I have friends that are just very deeply introspective. In fact, I have to kind of tease them to get them out of that introspective mindset, because you just become so morbidly introspective about what you're doing. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? And all of that. And you can go to an extreme on that. But most of us have a different problem. Most of us are so superficial in our thinking that we never really truly examine ourselves. Well, here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus commands us as his disciples to make this an issue in our thinking, to make this an issue in our motivations. Look at it with me again. We can't read it often enough. He says, chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Here's the purpose of that. Why are you practicing your righteousness? He says, beware of this, of doing it with this purpose, with this goal to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Jesus says, watch your heart. Watch your heart, lest you turn your devotion to God into a means by which you seek to earn the praise of men. When you see Jesus laying it out that clearly, you see what a despicable, ugly, black thing it is to have that motive in your heart. To pretend to be honoring God, to pretend to be obeying God with pure motives, to make that your pretense, when what you're really after is for someone to notice and commend you for it. That's what Jesus says. When he says practicing your righteousness, he's referring to those deeds that express your devotion to Christ, the praying, the giving, the fasting. And when he says beware of doing this before men to be noticed by them, that verb there, to be noticed, it's the Greek word that we get our word theater from. Jesus, you do it so that someone is watching. You do it as though you're on a stage and you're performing for an audience. That is exactly what he is saying. You're living your life as though you were in a theater and you had an audience watching you, and you want their applause at the end of the show. Now look, we need to be honest and realize that we are prone to that. To be noticed by men. And you can see that this is a huge issue in the mind of Christ as he's teaching here. Chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Verse 2. Don't be like the hypocrites. They do this in the synagogues in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Look at verse 5. Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray so that they may be seen by men. Verse 16. When you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, because they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. They do it so that they'll be noticed. They do it so that they'll be honored by men. They're doing it to be noticed by men around them. Jesus is bringing front and center the motivations that animate your spiritual life. And repeatedly, not once, not twice, not three times, four times in the span of 16 verses, he says, watch out for this spiritual danger of living your life in order to be noticed by men, in order to receive the applause of men. And so it's obviously a matter of supreme critical importance to Christ. And he says that if you neglect this, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Now understand, Jesus is not criticizing the external act of giving. He is not, in this passage, criticizing the external act of praying or the external act of fasting. He goes on and tells us exactly how to do those things. And so it's not the external act that he is after here and criticizing those external acts. What he is going at is that he is going at the very core of your heart and telling you to examine yourself as to why you do these things. Why is it that you go through these motions? And as we let his words sink into us, we realize something that is glorious and also profoundly troubling. I think this is profoundly troubling, what I'm about to say. But it's clearly what Jesus says. Why you do something, the reason that you do something, is significant to God. That's what this whole thing is about, spiritual motivations. Why you do something is significant to God. And look at what he says as he's going through this. In verse 2, he calls out these men who are doing it for the praise of God, hypocrites. Chapter 6, verse 2, hypocrites. Chapter 5, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites. Verse 16, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. The Greek term for hypocrite originally referred to stage actor, going along with that theatrical verb that we saw in verse 1. The hypocrite practices make-believe and puts on a show for his chosen audience. He wants men to congratulate him on his deeds of righteousness. He goes out of his way to make sure that someone sees. He somehow subtly calls attention, or sometimes not too subtly, calls attention to himself so that people see and say, wow, you're such a godly young man. Wow, you're such a godly woman. And of course, the immediate response is, no, no, no. Please don't say that. While with the other hand, they're saying, more please. On one hand, they put out the hand in order to maintain the pretense of humility and godliness. But on the other hand, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Could you repeat that just one more time? Internally soaking it up, internally loving the praise of men. And that's why they do it. Christ sees right through that with his omniscient eye. The penetrating gaze of the Savior sees right through all of that hypocrisy.
So as followers of Jesus Christ, we must ask ourselves, who are we trying to impress? And perhaps the answer leads us to repent and humble ourselves before God. As we relinquish our pride to Jesus Christ, we focus on pleasing Him with our words and actions. On our next program, Pastor Don Green will continue unpacking these powerful truths from Matthew chapter 6. So join us for more of our series titled The Sin of Spiritual Hypocrisy here on the Truth Pulpit. But right now, here again is Don with a special message.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for directions and service times and much more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you to join us next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.